Our scripture reading this morning is from Proverbs and from John, can be found in the order of worship. Let's rise to hear the reading of God's word. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Oil and perfume makes the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and your friend's your father's friend. Do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Turning to John 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. The word of the Lord. Praise be to the Lord.
The man's name is Alan Yates, preparing to leave for vacation to Florida. His two friends' families had taken off, preparing for the 14-hour journey down to Florida, and he was coming soon, but he had learned that there was a problem at his company. It was an electrical problem, and he needed to get that cleared up before he left, and so he went to the office that day, worked through the system, began to find out what it was, and later that afternoon, as he discovered what the problem was, he began to see what he could do to repair it. And it was at that time that the accident occurred, and the electrical wires fell across his body, and he was electrocuted, but he survived, badly burned. His friends, who had already arrived in Florida, unpacked and settled in, enjoying the beach. When they heard of it, they immediately packed their cars and drove 14 hours back to Chattanooga to be with Alan and his family. They were not family. They were not obligated. But they did not count that as a sacrifice. They saw it as love because he was their friend. How many of us have friends who would drive 28 hours and do something like that for us? Have you ever realized that the friends that are in your life are there because God created them? C.S. Lewis made a very interesting discovery, and he said this: we think we have chosen our friends. In reality, a few years difference in the dates of our birth, a few more miles between certain houses, the choice of one university instead of another, the posting of different regiments in the service, the accident of a topic being raised or not raised at a first meeting, any of these chances might have kept us apart. But for a Christian, there are strictly no chances. A secret master of ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to the disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and you have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another." The friendship, Lewis says, is not a reward for our discrimination and good taste in finding one another out. It is the instrument by which God reveals to each other the beauties of all others, quote. And I would add, and the beauties of himself. The entire purpose of humanity flows out of the understanding of friendships. God is a triune God, and he exists in a triune friendship. And it is out of that friendship that flow the purposes of God. For you see, God is not off in space by himself and lonely. No, he has a perfect fellowship and friendship within himself. He needs nothing else. Why do we exist? We exist because out of the joy of that friendship, God wanted us to experience that same kind of relationship, that same kind of friendship. He never works his plans alone. He does work with us as individuals, but he does so in the realm of friendships. Adam was told it was not good for him to be alone, and so God gave him Eve. And he gave him Eve not simply for procreation, that was part of the purpose, but because of the friendship that would be there. Noah had his family on the ark. Abraham had Sarah. Israel was 12 families, 12 brothers. Moses had Aaron. David had Jonathan. Jesus chose 12 disciples. Paul had Timothy. And on and on and on. God's kingdom never advances on individuals, but always on friendships and communities. At PCPC, our session and our leadership have determined that we need to focus our efforts on three core values: worship, discipleship, and service. Why these three? It is worship where our heart is developed and expressed. It is in worship when we come together and find the joy of what it means to come to this God, this triune friendship God, and we begin to experience it together. How many of you have ever tried to worship for an hour by yourself? It's hard, isn't it? But we come here together and we sing together, and I could worship with you in here for hours because of the joy of being together and the friendships that we begin to establish amongst one another. The first week we were in this room, someone came to me and said, "You know, I love this because I'm seeing people and sitting down with people I haven't sat down with before." We're such creatures of habit, aren't we? I'm never more than about 5 feet away from the same seat every week. And yet in here we come and we delight in something. We can see one another. But we enjoy that, not because just the room is set this way, but because there's something in the relationships and worship and friendship that God wants us to have. In disciple making, this is where the mind is sharpened and equipped. But you cannot disciple in isolation. It must be done in a small group setting. It is where truly iron sharpens iron and one person's countenance another. It is where I see what repentance really is in another person and I realize I'm not repenting like that person is repenting. I see another person and they're talking about something that the Scripture has spoken to them and said to them, and I realize, wow, there's something there that I didn't catch. And it's in those friendships as we dig in with each other that we begin to develop the depth of what discipleship is all about. I don't know if you noticed or not, I've been in this service now 3 times. And I still am struck in the public confession about the subtle mockery that we make by delighting in future sin. I've never thought of that before. Things in my heart and my life. But you know, someone can help me see that. In service is where our obedience is expressed. It is here that we develop our deepest impact with one another. I don't know about you, I enjoy doing some service and going on a mission project and some of this nature, but I don't like doing it alone. I want to do it. I want to be involved with somebody else, if for nothing more, to brag to somebody about what I'm doing. But we need one another, and it is in these relationships, these friendships, that God is teaching us something deeply about who He is. You see, it is in these three that the wisdom of God in friendships is seen and enjoyed. Proverbs speaks more deeply to friendship than any other book in the Bible. Elsewhere in Scriptures, we have wonderful models that we see. But it is a proverb that seeks to spell it out for us. And in our time today, I'd like to do three things. First, I'd like for us to define friendship as these passages reveal it to us. And then I'd like for us to discuss how it is developed. And then last of all, to discern its application to our lives, and particularly to us here as we are seeking to be what God wants us to be as a people at PCPC. First, what is friendship? From these passages, we can see at least three things that are given to us that help us form a biblical definition of friendship. First, friendship is, above all else, loyalty. It is loyalty. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake your own friend or the friend of your father. Notice even the generational friends. The writer implies that true friendship is represented as always present, whether things are good or whether they are bad. So whereas a relative is someone who's usually there in adversity, there's someone there that is more, it's a relative is more like a safety net, and that is a good thing. But it is not to say that a relative can't be a best friend, and yet in general what he is saying here is usually it is friends who are with you at all times, both good and bad. The idea in this passage of a man of many friends or many acquaintances, I think, has to say that we all have a lot of people we know that we are acquainted with. But how many of us have the kinds of friends that will give up their vacation in order to be with you? That's a different kind of friendship. As someone said, a friend is someone who asks, "How are you?" and then really wants to know. This is what I saw in these four friends of Alan Yates, two couples that were loyal because they loved this man and his family. Secondly, friendship has confidentiality. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." Or Proverbs 16:28, "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." More friendships are lost over this issue than any other single issue. Oftentimes, the sharing of a prayer need is actually just spilling the beans. Always ask yourself, would I want this matter shared if it were mine? And if there's any hesitation, don't. If someone ever traps you, either knowingly or unknowingly, by saying, "Well, is so-and-so involved in some sin or some serious problem," and they think that you know, and maybe you do, what do you say? You simply say something like, "I really don't know enough to discuss it." You see, that's confidentiality. A wonderful statement. A friend is one to whom you can pour out all the contents of your heart chaff and grain together, knowing that the gentlest of hands will take it and sift it. Keep what is worth keeping, and with the breath of kindness blow the rest away. You see, there's something secure. There's something deeply comforting in the safety of not having to measure your thoughts or your words. Do you have someone that you can really say everything that's on your heart? And know that it is received with loyalty, confidentiality. That's what he's talking about here. Another one said, a friend is someone who can see through you and still enjoys the show. Thirdly, friendship offers and needs candor, forthright love. Proverbs 27:9 says, the oil and perfume makes a heart glad. Women, that's a good verse you could use when you need a birthday present, right? But when you're glad about that, think about it. So a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. And it is good wisdom. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We desperately need people who will speak the truth to us in love. Many of you know I served in a church before I came here, First Presbyterian of Chattanooga, and I worked for a man who was, he was a senior pastor, quite a bit older than I, and he was a real mentor. When I went to work for him, I didn't realize how forthright he was. I was a rookie pastor, and the first week that I gave the morning prayer, he came to me and he said, Pete, he said, let's have coffee tomorrow and talk. I had no idea what was coming. He said, that was the worst prayer I've ever heard. Well, I've never anybody critiqued my prayer, you know. And so I'm getting a little mad inside. And he goes on to say, he said, you know, when you were praying, Lord, forgive these people for their sins. Help them learn repentance. Guide them in the ways of truth. He said, why did you separate yourself from them? Why didn't you say, Lord, we need to repent? We are sinners. Lord, guide us that we might walk in your paths. What a difference. The next week in our church there, we introduced people. And we had people join the church every week. And so it was my turn as a new pastor to do this. And a couple people got up and I introduced them. And then, you know, we had them come forward, answer the questions that we do. And then we introduced them and just said a few things about them. He came up to me the next day and said, Pete, let's go have some coffee. I'm still not really getting it, you know. And so we sat down and he said, that was a terrible introduction. And I said, well, why? And he said, that fellow that you introduced, Tony Hernandez. I said, yes. He said, well, Tony is a Hispanic, right? And I said, yes. And he said, how many Hispanics are members of our church? And I said, well, not very many. And he said, that's right. And he said, that was a very, very brave thing for him to come and join our church. And he said, it also, you knew that he was a Marine, didn't you? And I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, but you didn't mention that. And he said, do you know anything about the Marines? He said, the Marines don't take just anybody. They take the best of the best out of all of the services. And he said, this was an opportunity for you to say something about this man in front of all of these people to whom he's fixing now to become a member, and you blew it. There was an opportunity, and you will never have it again. He wounded me. But only in time did I remember and understand it was the wounds of a friend. because he cared about me. I won't take the time to tell you what he said about my first sermon. Boy, took me 2 years to get over that one. But here's the point. Our hearts are easily deceived, the Scripture says. And God, in His great wisdom, provides friends who will help us see the deception we don't see in ourselves. Keep us from more pain and more sin. We know we need those kinds of friends and we want them. Because you see, friends multiply joys and they divide sorrows. Now, how do we have these kinds of friends? I think there are at least three elements that are involved: cultivation, chemistry, and grace. Let's look at those. First, by cultivation, I mean time. If you examine it, most of us have been forced into our friendships with the people we went to school with. My last name begins with a D. I know all the A through Fs, because that was the section I was put in grade school. I know all of those people. I can still see their faces. I couldn't wait to get to junior high to finally get to meet some S's and T's and Z's. But most of us have been forced in to those kinds of friendships or the people that you end up working with. But you see, here's the point. It takes time to develop a friendship. Now, time is not enough by itself, but it is the beginning element, condition that must be there. And remember again, we don't choose our friends. God does. So there is more. And that is, the second one is chemistry. Now, what do I mean by chemistry? I mean like-mindedness. There's a sense in which the discussions that you have, where you learn how one another thinks, you learn their hearts, how people feel about things. It's even at the point you know it's there when two friends can sit in silence and still be comfortable. There's a chemistry there. There's a like-mindedness that is developing within you. I once met with a friend for 10 years every week, and we prayed together. Our schedules change, and I don't see him as often as I used to. But whenever I do, it is as if it was just yesterday. Because there's a like-mindedness. After praying together, sharing your struggles, confessing your sins, asking your questions, sharing your doubts, it is there. One man said, I had a very good friend and he moved away and I was so brokenhearted because he said, we had a wonderful prayer bond. We could pray so well together. So he lived 100 miles away and we both realized what we had in that relationship. So we agreed once a week to drive 50 miles one way and meet and pray for an hour and then go back home. There's a like-mindedness that develops in that kind of friendship. Dale Carnegie made an interesting statement. He said, you can make more friends in 2 months by being really interested in other people more than you can in 2 years by trying to get people interested in you. Now, I don't know about you, but particularly earlier in my life, there were always people that I wanted to be friends with. They might have been more popular or more fun or what have you, and I would want to pursue them and make them my friends. And you know what? It rarely ever worked. Until I realized, am I really interested in that person because I'm interested in that person, or just interested in them because of what they can do for me? And so I had to get interested. And I realized that as I began to show interest and love to others, regardless of what came to me in return, you know what happened? The depth of friendships begin to occur. But this takes us to the third and the most critical element, and that is friendships cannot deepen without grace. See, when you come together for Christ's kingdom, seeking the will of God, discussing God's word, praying about the things that God would have us do and how He would work in our lives, there's something about being around what we call the graces of God, the means of grace, the Word of God, the prayer of God, the worship of God. When we get together in those things and the grace of God begins to deepen our relationships in ways that we could never have any other way. Because it is God who makes the depth in a friendship. Now, how do we use this? How does this apply to you? How do we use this? And how do we see what God is doing in PCPC? Let me put it this way. The unholy Trinity, the world, the flesh, and the devil, is constantly pushing you into isolation and individualism. It is constantly separating. This is why Eve got into her problem. Anything that is pushing you to be by yourself more, do you find yourself being more alone in your life than you are with true friendships? That's the work of the world. The world will continually push you into isolation. But the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, is always moving us into unity and friendships. And why? Because earthly friendships increase our understanding of what it means to have a friendship with God and the Trinity. Because that's what God is. Psalm 25:14 says this, and I love it. It says, "Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence Him. And with them alone He shares the secrets of His covenant." You realize God is always inviting us into intimacy and friendship with Him, just as He enjoys in the Trinity. And He is wanting us to have Trinitarian friendship, so to speak. Because when the grace of God flows into your life, it is never meant to stay there. It is meant to flow out of your life into the lives of others. And so your friendship should ever be widening and deepening. Not more casual acquaintances, but the depth of what you have. Because it is in that depth that you begin to experience what God wants you to have. Because you begin to sense Him. And this is why Jesus says in John 15, "I call you friends, because I have made known to you all the things I heard from my Father. I've disclosed to you. I've been confidential with you." And He says, "I have chosen you to go and bear fruit that will remain and to love one another." And then He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. Love one another." We're not friends with Jesus just simply because we obey a command. But by the fact that we do what He says shows that we understand what it's all about. You see, the joy of deep friendship begins in our friendship with God. And when you develop a deeper friendship with God, you know what's going to happen? It's going to force you into loving other people. It's going to force you into relationships with others. Because that's what the Trinity is all about. It's always pushing out grace. Always bringing in. He is the one who changes our focus from ourselves to focusing on loving others. He is the one that enables us to have friends so that we can be that kind of friend. To be a true friend that is loyal, confidential, and forthright in candor, we need the grace of God, and it is there for us. He has the resources. He does so because He wants us to have what He has. In the deep Spirit-led friendships, we taste the Trinity. In deep Spirit-led friendships, we rise to grasp the fullness of God in our hearts. We stand in awe of the commitment of the cross for us to enable us to have these kinds of relationships. And we learn to trust that gentle push of the candor of the Holy Spirit to repentance and encourage others to do the same. Now, how does that relate to us here at PCPC? This fall, men, we're starting a new program for men called Men's Fraternity. By its very name and its nature, there's a sense of closeness. And for most of us, fraternities don't necessarily draw up good spiritual thoughts, do they? But they often draw up close friendships. But the point is this. We're offering at a new time in which hopefully more of you would come, be more available to you so you can be at work by 8 o'clock. But it is here in these relationships, in these small groups, that we want to deepen your experience of the love of God and the sharpening relationships that we have that in each other that God wants us to have. And women, as we start our fall Bible studies in small groups, why do we do that? Is it because we want you to have more of the Word of God? Of course, but it's far more than that. It's so that in the connections that you have with each other, you will experience more of the grace of God and you will be drawn more into what God is and who He is and what He is like. We oftentimes do not know how to be loved. I think the story that Chuck Swindoll told about himself, he said that one day I came home from church and here was a guy on a ladder cleaning the windows on my house. And he said, my first thought was, is my gosh, have they gotten that bad? And I went up to him and I realized it was an elder in our church. And I said, Sam, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm washing your windows. What does it look like? And he said, well, just a minute, I'll go get these clothes off and I'll come out and help get it finished up. And he said, no, I don't want you to do that. He said, oh, no, I'll be right back out. No, he said, Chuck, I don't want you to do that. He said, oh, no, I'll be right back out. He says, Chuck, stop. He said, you don't know how to be loved. I'm washing your windows because I love you. Would you just let me love you? Now, how many of you would let people love you like that without feeling some obligation? In the earlier service, I said, maybe we should start a list up here. You might want your windows washed. But the point of the matter is, do you have that kind of friend? Are you that kind of friend? Jesus is the one who is closer than a brother. Jesus is the one who loves us no matter what. And Jesus, as an expression of the Trinity, is coming down to move into our lives so that we will do the same thing. If you love me, you will obey my commandment, and my commandment is love one another. I ask you this question. Are your friendships deeper? Or are you simply just enjoying the friendships that you have and resting in what they give you? Then you're not growing closer to the Trinitarian God. Your friendships should be expanding in their depth and in new people that you in time take into your lives. And you love them the way Christ loves you. Some of us were saying, wow, I wish I had more friends like that. But it only begins when you begin your friendship with God. And when you begin to love like He loves. And then you'll find that fellowship of the Trinity will pull more people into your life. Because you are in it for what it can do for the glory of God and not what it will give to you. I want you to take some time before we sing our parting song. And I want you to think for just a moment, if you will. You jot a note on your bulletin or what have you. Lord, I need these kinds of friends. I have allowed my life to isolate me. As a man, I'm living too independently. As a woman, I'm living too clingingly. Lord, may I experience the depth of the friendships with you, that you would share the secrets of your covenant with me. And those secrets will lead you to love others as Christ has led you, loved you.